This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Our topic today is the power of sincerity. The power of sincerity will be clear, crystal clear, as soon as we get to the story, and it is the climax, it is the pinnacle, it is the peak of this webinar, inshallah ta'ala. So are you ready for this? The introduction is very straightforward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ فَاعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Indeed, we set down the book to you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in truth. So worship Allah alone, مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ, being sincerely devoted to Him. Now, we have Muslims from all over the world. We have 2 billion Muslims and counting. The question is, are we as Muslims progressing in terms of the level of sincerity that we have? We say we worship Allah alone. Islam means submission to Allah. Submission with what? Submission with sincerity. Submission with humility. You cannot submit to the creator of the heavens and the earth unless you have some humility and sincerity. So the condition of acceptance is sincerity, first and foremost. Now, you do an act of worship. You're praying, you're fasting, you have good character, everything you're doing in your life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, say indeed my prayers, وَنُسُكِي, my sacrifice or my worship, وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, my death and my life are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you say, I'm living for Allah. The condition of acceptance in general is that you are sincere, and specifically with acts of worship, that you are sincere and that it is done correctly, that the act of worship is done correctly. So ikhlas in the Arabic language, the word that people usually refer to when they talk about sincerity, it gives the connotation of something that is so clear you can see through it. So sincerity here, in terms of the state of your heart, is the alignment of the internal and the external in terms of goodness. Sincerity, brothers and sisters, it is the fragrance of your heart. Some people love fragrances for the external, but they absolutely do not care and they abandon and neglect the internal fragrance. Most hadith books and many books will start with an emphasis on sincerity. I'll give you an example of a story here. This example, I'm giving you an example just to demonstrate a brother who shared his concern that he committed many sins. I've heard this many times. He said, I've committed so many sins and not that many good deeds. He's like, I have 5 prayers and that's it, a day. And I'm barely like struggling to just fulfill these 5 prayers, but I'm committing so many sins. I feel like I gossip a lot. I lie a lot. I listen to things I shouldn't listen to. He's like, I feel like I'm committing way more sins than good deeds, and I'm trying to improve. I am trying to repent. This was a beautiful opportunity. The next time you think of this, or you know someone who is, to remind them of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has good news for all people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded good and evil deeds and made them all clear. Whoever intends to perform a good deed but does not do it, Allah will record it as a complete good deed. So you intended, for example, to bring a cup of water to your family member who is thirsty, or to your parent. A good deed. And along the way, something else interrupted you, something else happened, or they got their own water. You're like, oh, khalas, it didn't work out. You still got the reward because you intended it, although you did not do it yet. Were you sincere? Yes, you sincerely wanted to do it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, that if that person intends to do it, and they go through with it, they actually are able to do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record it. Pay attention. This is going to just blow you away in terms of the generosity of Allah. Allah will record it as 10 good deeds for one thing you did, or up to 700 times as much or even more. Allahu Akbar. You can do a single good deed and be rewarded possibly 700 times as much because of the level of your sincerity and many other factors behind the scenes. And then what happens here, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, now if that servant intends to do something evil and then does not do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record it for him as one complete good deed. But why did they not do this sin? They stopped for the sake of Allah. They didn't stop because, let's say, somebody opened the door so that they stopped talking to someone on the phone, or they were listening to something haram and somebody found them and then they changed it to a Quran. No, they stopped a sin for the sake of Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a good deed. This is someone who did not yet commit the sin. They intended to do something bad, but they did not. If he does it, then Allah will record it for him as a single evil deed. A sin is going to be punished with one sayyi'ah. Whereas the good deed that you do and the good deed that you intended but could not do, and you tried your best, you'll be rewarded for it with a multiplier of 10, minimum 700 or even more. Is Allah not generous? Now, a lot of brothers and sisters ask, and maybe some people here are wondering as well, how do you know if you're sincere? What are some signs of sincerity? You look about everyday life and everyone's doing their thing. You're like, how many of us are actually being sincere and how many people are insincere? What can you do? What can you observe privately between you and Allah to know? So for example, some of the signs of sincerity will take place before you begin a task. You're about to join this organization. You're about to give a charity. You're about to volunteer. You had a good intention before you started. You went to a class to learn about Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. He rewarded you for it before you even started the task itself. But then I want you to think about this. During the task, during the act of worship, even if you received praise from other people, you stayed sincere. Here's an example. You go to the masjid, you're praying. And as you're praying, you notice from your peripheral vision, somebody walks into the musalla and maybe they're like looking at you. Now you're in sujood, but that person is like staring at you. You might think to yourself, you know what? I don't want to show off. So I'm going to make it very short. I don't want to look like I'm doing long sujood just because they're watching. So your thought is, I don't want to be insincere. So you cut off the act of worship. You rush it. But actually the commentary from many of the earliest of generations, they say what? Renew your intention and elongate your sujood. Take your time with it. You don't care about that person who's watching. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who will reward you. So focus on Allah. Allah is the only one who will reward you for your acts of worship. So focus on Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who will reward you and accept from you an act of worship. So focus only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, of course, you might finish the task and now you're receiving praise. Now there's a possibility of some kind of interference with your intention. Keep renewing it. The renewal of your intention is an act of worship. Renewing your intention is an act of worship. The pursuit of sincerity is an ongoing way of life for the believer. What else? A sign of sincerity. A sign of sincerity is that you have private deeds more than you're worried about what people see in public. You might say, well, everything I do is almost in public. La ilaha illallah. You know, what you don't want to do is to pray Qiyamul Layl, the night prayer. Let's say for half an hour, you got up at night just to pray Qiyamul Layl, and then to go on social media and write something like, Alhamdulillah for the opportunity to pray Qiyamul Layl, hashtag rug life. What are you doing with your good deed? You're exposing it to all the other people on social media. So make it private. Make it private. Hide it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us sincerity. Allahumma ameen. Here's a principle if you want to keep this in mind. I think personally, I believe this is one of the easiest things to keep in mind as a principle that will liberate you, inshallah, in terms of the state of your heart. Are you ready for this? All right. You know how you pray your salah, sometimes in private, many times at home, and other times in front of other people, whether with family or with community in the masjid. Here's the principle. Make sure your prayer in private is equal to or even better, and it should be better, than the prayer in public, but never worse. If your prayer in private is worse than your prayer in front of other people, it's a very dangerous thing. Why? Because you're saying, you're implying that the only audience here that matters are the people that watch you, but not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us all and guide us. Make sure your prayer in private is equal to or much better than the prayer in public, but never worse. Remember this principle. This is one of the signs that you are trying to remain sincere and you're not giving up. What else can you do? A sign of sincerity is that when people advise you, you're very welcoming. They're welcoming. People are advising you. Why are you welcoming? Because when it comes to sincerity, you want to improve, you want to grow, you want to become a better person. And so naturally, if your sincerity is towards Allah, Ya Allah, I want to become a better believer, then naturally when people advise you, you should at least consider what they are saying, thank them for it, and then reflect on it in private. Is there something I can change? Is there something that I can do? This is something that we should keep in mind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity and to reflect on the internal state a lot. Sometimes you'll see people on social media, mashallah, they are going after everyone, attacking everyone, criticizing everyone. But when people try to reach out to them, scholars have reached out to them, du'at, students of knowledge will reach out to them, their own friends and family. They're afraid to advise them or they're not able to advise them because that person is so arrogant, refusing to be advised. They're very harsh, very hard-hearted. And they're not focused on their internal shortcomings and their internal state. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. And in fact, we're talking here about sincerity. We're talking about the state of the heart. May Allah protect us all. A sign of true faith, a sign of humility, is that you are receptive and you focus a lot on your shortcomings. rather than making it a way of life to always be criticizing other people's state. And sometimes it's not even accurate. It's based on some external interpretation that is wrong. The Prophet ﷺ gives us good news here. You know how today with social media and the world that we're in, people are very superficial. People are focused on the external things. It's very superficial society today. May Allah protect us all. Many parts of society and social media. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your appearance or your wealth. Meaning it's not about the size of your house. It's not about the brand name shirt or purse or watch or whatever else you have. It's not about your physical appearance. Obviously take care of your appearance in general, but it's not about your appearance. So people's perspectives on your beauty or handsomeness does not matter with regards to your true state of faith. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. However, Allah looks at your hearts and your actions. So your actions have to be correct and the state of your heart has to be sincere. And hypocrisy is when there is a clash between the two. People act like they're Muslim, obviously, they're the larger type of major hypocrisy. And that is النفاق الاعتقادي, the hypocrisy of beliefs. And then you have النفاق العملي, right? The hypocrisy of actions. And some Muslims may fall into this. May Allah protect us all. But what we were led to here is a story. One of the most important stories in the authentic tradition from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and really tells us about the power of sincerity. This is a story that you should always reflect on when it comes to how sincere are you in terms of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you may, again, sometimes overthink it. If you're being sincere and other people know, that's fine. Just keep going with your act of worship. If you're being sincere and somebody notices your act of worship, that's okay. If you go to somebody's house and you say, "Is there a place that I can pray?" That's not showing off. You legitimately need to pray. Don't worry about what they think, right? You're focused on something you are in need of doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't overthink it either. Because sometimes shaitan will distract people and in fact take them away from acts of worship because they're worried about showing off. Keep doing acts of worship for the sake of Allah, renewing your intention, ask Allah for acceptance. But let's get to the story. This is the culmination of our talk and the crux of it all. It's a very lengthy hadith. Many of you have heard this many times before. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum, I reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while three men were walking, they were overcome by rain and they took refuge in a cave in a mountain. So this is the story of the three men in the cave. They took refuge in a cave in a mountain. And then a boulder fell over the opening of the cave, blocking them inside. Now, they're in this cave because they needed shelter from the rain, and a boulder is completely blocking them inside. They're not able to leave. So one of them said to the others, think about the good deeds you've done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you may call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by them, for perhaps He will relieve you. Meaning what? Here's the solution one of them thought of. How about we think about acts of worship that we did sincerely for the sake of Allah, and maybe if we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through and by means of those acts of worship, and we were actually sincere, then perhaps that will be the reason that today we are saved, because they're blocked and they're trapped in a cave. What else are we going to do? And so this is a solution, and this presents to us what we'll talk about later inshallah ta'ala, which is tawassul through a sincere act of worship. We'll talk about what that means at the end, inshallah. Okay, so what happens? They think, and I'm commenting on the hadith here, they reflect, and eventually the first one of them makes dua. Are you listening to this? This is going to, inshallah ta'ala, motivate us. So one of them said, "Oh Allah," he's making dua, "Oh Allah, I had two elderly parents, as well as a wife and a young child. And I tended to a flock, and when the evening came, I milked the animals, and I served my parents first before my child. One day, I went in search of fodder and I did not come back until it was evening. And I found both of them, his parents, sleeping. So I had milked as I had done before," meaning I brought the milk. "And he said, I stood by their heads," meaning I stood by their where they were sleeping, "for I hated to disrupt their sleep or to serve my child before serving both of my elderly parents. My child was crying nearby, and yet I continue standing over my parents nearby," meaning until the approach of dawn. And then the man said, "Ya Allah, if you know that I did that seeking your countenance," meaning for your sake, sincerely. "If you know that I did this act of worship sincerely for your sake, Ya Allah, then relieve us of this distress that we may at least see the sky." The cave is completely blocked. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? The dua was accepted. What happened? Allah shifted the boulder until they could see the sky. Meaning, now there's a slight opening, but still they cannot escape. The second of the three men then made a dua. And I just want to give a heads up here, because this is a diverse audience in terms of age, I will be very cautious with my words. This second man made dua. Now he needs to have an act of worship that he did sincerely for the sake of Allah, to make dua through it. So he says, oh Allah, I had a cousin whom I loved more than any man could love women. He said, I presented myself to her and she refused unless I could give her 100 coins, meaning unless I paid her. By the way, commentary here, why did she say stipulate that? She was extremely, extremely poor and she had no other source of income. She needed the money. And so she was in a state of distress. Is it justified Islamically? It's not justified. But what is this man doing? This man is taking advantage of her in a vulnerable state. So she said, okay, give me 100 coins, meaning basically pay me for this to be with her. And again, I'm being very cautious with my words and I'm paraphrasing. So he said, I worked hard until I gathered 100 coins and I brought them to her. He said, when I prepared myself to do whatever it was with her, again, I'm paraphrasing the hadith. When they were about to do what they were about to do, she said to him, O servant of Allah, fear Allah and do not break this, do not do this without the right to do so, meaning without being married to me. Don't do this without being married to me. Don't do this without the right that is going to allow you to do this. So she said, fear Allah. He said, I stood and then I left her. Ya Allah, if you know that I did this for your sake, if I left her just for your sake, Ya Allah, then relieve us of this distress. And then again, what happened? The Prophet ﷺ said, the boulder shifted a bit, meaning Allah relieved them once again. So it shifted again. Now they can see a little more of the sky, but still they cannot escape. And then the last man made dua. He said, oh Allah, I employed a worker for a portion of rice. When he finished his work, he said to me, give me what I deserve. So he hired someone and that man was supposed to get paid. The man said, give me basically my payment. I offered his share to him, but he didn't accept it. So he said, I continued planting his share. So he reinvested it in the ground. And eventually it grew. It grew and expanded so much, he said, until I accumulated cows and flocks. So what that man left of his share grew as an investment, became something much more expensive, much more valuable. He said, and then finally the man came back to me. Allahu alam how long. One day that man comes back and he says, fear Allah and do not violate my rights. In other words, give me what you owe me from previously, from the time past. Let's say somebody, you owed them $100. You took the $100, you invested it back into your business and you had maybe another, let's say $100 or $1,000, whatever it may be. Your business expanded, now became worth $1 million. And then one day the man comes back and he says, give me my $100. That's all you owed him back then. The problem is now you reinvested it in something else, in this business, in this land. Now it's worth, let's say, $100,000 as an example. If you were sincere to Allah, you would tell that man, I used your money, invested it as part of my business, and it's worth a lot more. I will give you the same percentage that you had before, the same share, but I'm not only going to give you $100 because it's worth so much more. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what you do. Is that an easy thing to do financially? No, because the man came back for $100. Most people today would be like, yeah, you only had $100. I'll give you back your $100. Well, you invested it. And so out of sincerity, what did this man do? He said, go to this part of my land, go to this cow and its flocks and take them all. Basically, take everything there. Imagine he pointed, said, all of that is yours. The man said, fear Allah and don't mock me. Don't make fun of me. Meaning I'm only coming for my $100, my rice, my whatever he actually owed it. I'm only coming for that. Don't make fun of me and say, go ahead and take my whole business. He said, I'm not mocking you. I'm not making fun of you. Take the cow and all of its flock. So the man, like he eventually accepted, perhaps he explained to him what happened. He took the cow and the flocks and he left. He actually took that share that had magnified over the years. Can you imagine how difficult it was for this individual, the businessman, to give it to him? And then he said, Ya Allah. He said, if you know I had done that for your sake, then relieve us of what remains, meaning the last part of the boulder that needs to move just so we can escape. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and then Allah relieved them of what remained. And the hadith of Al-Bukhari ends here. Brothers and sisters, these are three men trapped in a cave in what looks to be a scenario in which there is no way in the world you're going to be saved. There's no way you're going to escape. The boulder is blocking the mouth of the cave. And so it looks like eventually they're going to maybe die of starvation if there's no other escape and it's a small cave. Allahu alam, what will happen? They made dua to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their dua, but it wasn't just a random dua, oh Allah help us, which is important in all situations, but it was dua through a sincere act of worship. What does that tell you? It tells you the title of our webinar today. The power of sincerity. The power of sincerity. The power of sincerity can never be belittled. Do not ever undermine the power of sincerity. The power of sincerity can move mountains, can move boulders. Your sincerity can move planets. Obviously, it's not you causing it. But your sincerity, as you call upon Allah through it and say, Ya Allah, if you believe that what I did, if you know that what I did was sincere for your sake, then Ya Allah, help me. Ya Allah, help me. Ya Allah, help me. This is a really important concept to keep in mind. Here's my question to you. If you were trapped in the cave as one of these three people, and you had to make dua through a deed that you knew was sincere and private only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was very sincere, it's very true, there's no doubt you did it for the sake of Allah, you want to hope your assignment, what you want to write down privately, don't ever share this inshallah ta'ala, don't ever share this information, you want to make sure you have something sincere with Allah. And not just one, but many. You want to have many secrets between you and Allah that are good secrets. Secrets that perhaps, yes, you'll see the fruits of them in this life, but most importantly, on the Day of Judgment. Have a good secret with Allah. Have good secrets between you and Allah. And you'll notice that your dua is responded to in an expedited fashion, sometimes in the fashion you need it for in that moment, rather than being delayed for another time. For dua is answered in many different ways. You want to make sure if you were trapped in a cave, you had those sincere deeds. That, Ya Allah, if you know that I did those things sincerely for your sake, Ya Allah, accept for me. And don't do one or two things, but many things continuously as a way of life. It is permissible to make dua through those sincere deeds. And again, this is one of the basis, one of the ahadith that is a proof of that, and Allah knows best. What are some things you can do to attain sincerity? What is it that you can do? Reflect frequently on Allah. The majesty of the one you worship is important to keep in mind. If you worship Allah and you study His names and attributes, you'll fall in love with Allah. You'll become more sincere. You'll direct things towards Him. But if your focus is your desire, your agenda, your worldly state, your materialism, you'll start to stray away from pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us. What else can you do? Reflect on your deeds often. How many of your daily deeds from the time you wake up to the time that you sleep do you feel are for Allah? Acts of worship that are rituals, like prayer, or general ways of life, general habits, your studies, your work, the raising of your child, consciously intend these for the sake of Allah, and you will find some barakah in it, and you will find, inshallah ta'ala, acceptance and reward as well. What else can you do? Number three is to reflect on the Day of Judgment and your meeting with Allah. When will you leave this world? We are now almost at the end of this calendar year, and the year has flown by. It just passed by so quickly, subhanAllah. And when we say the year flew by, the reality is Ramadan is less than 6 months away already. Ramadan is around the corner. We'll blink and many of us will make it to Ramadan and perhaps some others will not be there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to make it and accept those who pass away before then as shuhada. May Allah grant them shahada. Allahumma ameen. What can you do? Reflect on your meeting with Allah consistently throughout life. Engage in a lot of istighfar, a lot of tawbah, a lot of repentance. Always focus on your private state a lot and don't keep yourself occupied with what people see. Sometimes mental health is affected when people are constantly chasing after validation from others. So some people will only pursue an educational career or a degree or a certificate just because one of their factors in their mind is, what will other people say? How will other people feel? Some people will act a certain way just because of that. Some people will get married or have kids just because of that. No, you're doing these things for the sake of Allah. Forget people. It's just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you're about to pray, think about that. It's you and Allah. You're having this conversation. And when you die and you're in your grave, you want your good deeds to come to you, to protect you, to shade you, to intercede for you on the Day of Judgment. You want all of that, so be sincere today. Sincerity today towards Allah leads to a decrease in regrets and consequences in the next life. A decrease when it comes to hardship of the pain of regret. The more you are sincere today, the less you are afraid on the Day of Judgment. The more you are sincere towards Allah today and you act upon that sincerity, the less you have to fear in the grave or on the Day of Judgment, and the less you have to experience of discomfort. May Allah protect us all. Have a lot of private deeds between you and Allah. Private deeds no one knows about. Your night prayer, your charity are easy ones. Even fasting at times, helping other people. Help people and don't always advertise it. Help people and don't always post it on social media. Sometimes we want to inspire people. Sure, that's not a problem. At times you can do that inshallah ta'ala. and it should be done with sincerity. But don't make that your driving factor. Don't make that the reason you are helping other people in society, that all your social justice, all your activism, all your good deeds are always basically on public display. No, make sure you're doing it for the sake of Allah. There are many people who walk this earth and they are unknown. And because of their sincerity and their good deeds, their names are mentioned throughout the heavens. They are famous amongst the malaika of the heavens. And there are many people who are famous on earth and they are unknown, meaning not referenced, unmentioned in the heavens. Be sincere towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember this at the end of the day. We are always in need of making dua for sincerity without overcomplicating it, without overthinking it. Just be sincere and keep moving towards Allah and stop worrying so much about other people. There is a famous dua we can all make. The translation of the dua is, O Allah, we seek refuge with you from knowingly associating anything with you. As well, we seek your forgiveness for that which we do unknowingly. What does this mean? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. This hadith, this dua comes from a famous hadith. O people, the Prophet ﷺ said, O people, beware of this minor shirk, for it is more subtle than the footsteps of an ant. The one whom Allah willed should speak to him, meaning to the Prophet ﷺ, asked a really important question here that helps us. How can we beware of it when it is more subtle than the footsteps of an ant, Ya Rasulullah? It's so subtle, this type of shirk, minor shirk here. It's so subtle, how are we supposed to beware of it? How can we be cautious? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make this dua. Say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Oh Allah, we seek refuge with you from knowingly associating anything with you, and we seek your forgiveness for that which we do unknowingly. No doubt, sincerity is a condition for success. No doubt, sincerity is a condition for a legacy. People have died and we spoke about them when they died, like many of our teachers, like Sheikh Muhammad Sharif rahimahullah, in recent times. And when people pass away, sometimes you will see the effects of their sincerity if it's something that's public that they worked on. Like Imam Nawawi rahimahullah worked on the 40 ahadith, the compilation. This is, by the way, one compilation amongst hundreds of compilations of 40 hadith. But it is perhaps the most printed book of hadith, and it is very summarized, very short, very concise in the world today in terms of what is printed, because it's a compilation. And of course, as many scholars said, because of his sincerity. This is a sign of sincerity. And so when a sincere person passes away, sometimes the effects are through their children or their offspring until the end of times. Sometimes their effects are not seen by people, and sometimes their effects are. But a legacy that is not sincere is not a true legacy for Allah. A legacy that is insincere is not a true legacy for Allah. A legacy that includes showing off to the creation is not sincere. So when you raise a righteous child, you may not be known, but Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, his single mother raised him, and he changed the entire world. Sincerity moves mountains. Sincerity moves boulders. Sincerity liberates people. Sincerity changes the world one person at a time. Sincerity changes the world one person at a time. Sincerity changes the world one person at a time. And it must prevail in your heart over all other desires. Whether or not you are rich or poor, whether you are in a good situation or not materialistically, even if you are a king or a queen or a politician, the queen of Sheba or Saba, Bilqis, submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she was a queen and she had an entire kingdom. She became Muslim. So sincerity means you take the signs that Allah gave you and you act upon them today. Stop procrastinating for a day that is not guaranteed. A sign of faith and sincerity, and this is contrasted with what the hypocrites do, a sign of sincerity and a sign of humility is that you do not procrastinate becoming a better believer. You do not procrastinate, because it's one of the most destructive and prideful things we can do. There's a man who heard about Islam in one of our communities, embraced Islam immediately, meaning the same day he came to the masjid, heard about Islam, asked all his questions. He said that everything makes sense. Why would I procrastinate? Why would I delay? He became Muslim. He died a year later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. There are people who almost died who did not procrastinate. There are people who died and they have procrastinated. My point is what? Your legacy is built on the foundation of sincerity. That is the ultimate success. Brothers and sisters, of course, there's a lot more to say, and there are perhaps dozens of different topics we can cover. I encourage you, inshallah ta'ala, to join us for one of the most important courses of our times that affects the state of the hearts and deals with the state of the hearts. And this is the course that, alhamdulillah, was just launched, recorded by Dr. Umar Sulaiman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. And it is Faith or Fake. This class covers a number of different crucial things that will help us to remain sincere, to reinforce the iman that we seek. So this is a course very wonderfully intertwines the seerah, the stories that are based off of what's happening, and also with the munafiqeen and the believers, and also the tafsir of the Quran. So traits of the believers and traits of the hypocrites. The traits of the believers, the sincere, the faithful, and the traits of those who are fake. There is the major hypocrisy and the minor hypocrisy. There are different traits that lead to Jannah. Some are more important than others, but all of them are signs of true faith. So I encourage you to join us, inshallah ta'ala. And yes, for those who asked, I did participate as one of the teachers for the course. So I recorded several of the modules, alhamdulillah, especially when it comes to the topic of hypocrisy and munafiqun, and specifically Suratul Munafiqun, and the different traits and how to engage with these characteristics, how to deal with these people in society today, whether you are noticing their effects on social media or as influencers, or you're noticing their effects as politicians, doesn't really matter. There's some application for every single part of this class for everyone who joins us. So we welcome you all, invite you all to join us, inshallah ta'ala, for this brand new course, again, recorded by and led by Sheikh Omar Suleiman. It is one of our newest projects, alhamdulillah, that focuses on both aqidah and seerah, and as well, you can say, as tafsir of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of you. We welcome you to join us once again, Faith or Fake, launched right now, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of you and grant us sincerity. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli lahumma ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I noticed we had just a few quick questions here. Somebody asked, what about joining Quran competitions, beautifying your recitation to win? It is permissible if you are being sincere. Having a talent or a skill that is demonstrated for a competition, that is measuring it, quantifying it, and judging you for it, inshallah, is still for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But obviously that Quran competition, a person should intend that, ya Allah, I seek to get closer to you through this competition, not to people or not because of some worldly thing, but it is permissible to engage in that. Somebody asked, can I ask someone when I visit their home for a place to pray? Or is it a sign? Basically, is this a bad thing? You can ask for a place to pray. Just remain sincere. Don't overthink it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Somebody says, but sometimes you're making salah at a moderate speed, but when someone comes, you feel like making a longer sujood. How can I interpret that? That's what we are talking about. You want to make sure when you're praying alone, your prayer alone is better than the prayer that you prayed when that person walked in. And that may take some time, but that is the goal at the end of the day, that your prayer in private is the most sincere prayer that you can pray, the best prayer you can pray. And if you are judged based on your salah in private, how do you feel right now? How would you feel on the Day of Judgment? How do you feel that that's the majority of your salah in terms of your record? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us and forgive us for shortcomings. Allahumma ameen. Once again, there are many principles that we can take, many things that we can do. Let's start, inshallah ta'ala, with these webinars and with the course that is launched. Wa jazakumullah khair, and thank you all for your wonderful engagement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and allow us to see the fruits of sincerity in this life and in the next life. And may Allah protect us from any kind of insincerity, any kind of pride, any kind of pursuit of people's pleasure over Allah's pleasure. May Allah forgive us for all of our shortcomings and alleviate the affairs of our brothers and sisters in every land and every place. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli lahum ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.